Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Coming up on podcast 1544, GM secure batteries for 5 million EVs. Stick around and I'll tell you what I know. Also on the show today, VW start US assembly of the all-electric and all-American made Chattanooga ID4. We talk about how the new Mercedes-Benz Econic is going to electrify city deliveries, and Tesla in Shanghai seriously up their production capacity. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, it's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Wednesday, 27th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and it's my job to go through every EV story, so you don't have to. You give me 20 minutes and I'll give you the world of EVs. Now we'll start with news of the South Korean battery company LG Energy Solutions, aka LG, saying today they're looking at sites in Europe for a new battery plant to ramp up production outside of Asia and outside of China, where COVID lockdowns have actually imposed some restrictions and rising costs have been weighing on LG's profits. The South Korean firm, which supplies EV batteries to the likes of GM and Ford and Volkswagen as well, said it was responding to the increased demand for the cylindrical batteries, you know, the types that Tesla have been using. Ooh, that would be forever. According to a Reuters report today, the CFO of LG says, and I quote, "With the easing chip shortage and also customers' plans to launch new models as well as solid EV demand among customers, we expect solid demand for pouch and cylindrical EV batteries in the second half of this year." LG will start selling their LFP cells, their lithium iron phosphate, the cobalt-free stuff that, I mean, I've been saying for a long time on this podcast, if you're a car maker and you haven't got a serious LFP purchasing strategy and have had for years, you are in serious trouble if you want to sell cheaper EVs. But LG will start making them. The South Koreans have been a bit behind, or just not prioritised them compared to the Chinese, like CATL. They start making their LFP cells in 2023 and add a new LFP battery production line in Michigan in 2024. Now, what should have been on any other day the headline story, and maybe this is the headline story for you because it's so huge, and I'll tell you why. Volkswagen of America today started production of its all-electric ID4 in Tennessee, at the Chattanooga plant, the first EV assembled in the United States for Volkswagen. The ID4 is Volkswagen Group's most popular all-electric model, 190,000 units delivered to customers globally since it first went on the market last year. Volkswagen will ramp up the ID4 assembly in Chattanooga to 7,000 vehicles a month later this year. with the goal to further increase that up from 7,000 a month all the way through 2023. Customers can expect vehicles to be delivered as early as October. So if you have an ID4 reservation in the US and you're hoping to get that vehicle US made, you could well be getting your ID4 coming in October. It's going to be either rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, and the first deliveries will be the big battery, the 82 kilowatt-hour battery. That's gross, by the way. In addition, a rear-wheel drive version, the 62 kilowatt-hour battery, will go into production later this year, and that's obviously going to have a lower MSRP. The start of production is the result of Volkswagen's $800 million investment into the electrification of their Chattanooga factory, they say, including dedicated facilities for vehicle and battery pack assembly. The factory in Tennessee is now the sixth global site to be making EVs for Volkswagen. The Chattanooga site employs 4,000 people, and they're recruiting for 1,000 more. And that is a bit of an antidote to some of the bad news we've seen around EVs, the move to EVs. Some of the car companies are going to have to shed jobs in some parts where people can't transition to new bits of the company. So that is a fantastic, fantastic bit of news with 1,000 new people this year. I'll pop a link to the Volkswagen newsroom, the press site, in the show notes if you'd like to read more for yourself. Jalopnik point out the budget version of the ID4 will still be a flagship EV. The only difference is the lower battery capacity to the new 62 kilowatt hour battery pack. The reduction in capacity might correspond to a reduction in price, they say. Absolutely will be. Smaller battery, lower price. That's not a might, by the way. That's a definite. Automotive News saying to VW's Scott Keogh, who, until the recent news that he is leaving the CEO position to go launch the Scout brand for VW in the US, he previously said the ID4 could be in the $35,000 range. Whether that means, you know, whether he means by that 35 to 36 is the $35,000 range, or whether he was thinking 35 to 40 is the range, I don't know. But that's $6,000 less. 35 would be $6,000 less than what you can buy an ID4 at the moment. Now, current ID4 will do 275 miles of range on EPA. So maybe it'll be 200, 210. Jalopnik reckons somewhere like 206 could be about right for that size battery pack. But of course, it'll be lighter. So we'll wait and see. The Volkswagen ID4 starts at $41,230 before federal tax incentives, which can take $7,500 off the effective price of an EV. Obviously not cash on the hood. Hey, depending on where you live, there could be some state subsidies as well. Drivers in the US like big cars, says Jalopnik. They write, trucks are at the top, SUVs follow, but drivers everywhere like cheap cars. And the promise of a low-cost EV has eluded the industry. Cheaper EVs are getting here, but the Chevy Bolt EV, for instance, is one example. Given how much the market loves SUVs, a budget ID4 could be a hit, they say. Well, I can't disagree with that. A $35,000 car, if you have a tax liability that effectively takes $7,500 off that, so that's a $27,500 EV, 62 kilowatt hour battery, 200 miles real world range. Maybe even add a state incentive on that. Maybe if you have a driveway, a lot of Americans do, you can charge it off peak overnight on an EV tariff for just a few cents a kilowatt hour. So your driving costs are effectively zero. I mean, they won't be, but they are so much less than the increase in gas prices. And you picked up a brand new EV for 20-something, you know, $25,000, say, if you got maybe some state stuff you can add in as well, or $27,500 with a federal tax credit. That is stunning value. And I'm sorry, you can be as much of a brand fan as you want. You know, you might be waiting to buy a Tesla Model 3, Model Y, but at the end of the day, pounds in your pocket, or rather, dollars in your pocket, is going to win over everything. That has the potential to be mega. And if they can supply enough of them, has the potential to be mega. 7,000, you know, a month, just under 2,000 cars a week is a really decent run rate. But supply chains being what they are, we'll wait and see how many they can deliver. Now, big headline story is about how many EVs GM could make. How many they say they'll make and how many they could make. Well, supply challenges felled GM's sales in Q2 around the world by a fifth. An earnings presentation yesterday, last night my time, because of the time difference, a Q2 earnings drop of 42% for GM. Now, I don't like bad news around any car company that's trying to go EV, because many of them are bankrolling the transition. Many startups go to the market, or many startups are reliant on debt and making a loss until they can at such times turn a profit. But many of the existing car companies are having to, you know, use their combustion business now to fund electrification. In a July 26th letter to shareholders, the CEO, Mary Barra, explained why General Motors continued to maintain its full-year outlook, says investors.com. They write, in Tuesday's letter, Mary Barra said strong GM earnings, historically low pension obligations and record vehicle pricing is going to insulate, that was the word they used, insulate the emerging EV business from challenges. The earnings presentation noted three high-volume EVs coming in 2023, including the Equinox, starting at $30,000. GM says it reached a deal with LG, the South Korean company LG I've mentioned already, to lock down a supply of cathode active materials. There you go, getting nerdy on the podcast today. Oh, yes, a bit of CAMs. How many CAMs have you got? Well, a lot. Almost a million tons of the stuff if you are GM. That's the stuff that makes a battery, says The Verge. Components like nickel, lithium, and materials like that representing 40% of the cost of the battery. The majority of EV battery cathodes are made with nickel, cobalt, and magnesium. Cobalt is the key component. It's expensive. GM's Ultium batteries take a lot of that out and add a bit of aluminium. It's why they're called the NCMA batteries. LG Chem is supplying cathode materials to General Motors starting this year, lasting till 2030. They say that's enough for 5 million electric vehicles, which is just stunning, stunning news. Well done, LG. I'm presuming this is North American market and not globally. Yeah, because globally they wrap in their Chinese businesses, their JVs as well. So, yeah, I imagine that this number here, and I don't think it includes, because with a lot of these announcements, by the way, between you and I, that car makers like to wheel out, a lot of them have been announced before. You know, especially when they go, oh, we're spending another $5 billion, $25 billion, like you announced this 6 months ago. So I don't think this is, and I think this is new information, and I think it's fantastic news for getting cars on the road electrically powered. Now, presuming this is the North American market, GM still say they're going to be number one, bigger than Tesla by 2025. So this is a deal that goes through till 2030. So it's harder to do the numbers on this, but that is 5 million, over the next 7 years, 5 million EVs over the next 7 years is about 750,000 EVs a year for GM. That is, you know, almost a million new EVs hitting North America's roads every single year for the next 7 years. And of course, there's going to be, as time goes on, more announcements like this and more purchasing. I have no doubt. Is that more than Tesla? Well, as I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, Fremont's at 550,000 production capacity a year and Texas 250 before it ramps even more. And so, no, that's still behind Tesla. GM, like, well done. I like the headline, but that's still behind what Tesla is doing today before Tesla ramp anymore. Hey, I don't want to make people fight with each other, but if you're going to use fighting language like that, you've got to have the numbers to back up your claim. I'm not sure they have. Anyway, having a look at GM's investor deck, their presentation yesterday, they point out the Cadillac Lyriq, which comes in now. I mean, it's in production now. Not sure when the first customer deliveries are, but it's in production now. They also point at the Cadillac Celestique, which is their $300,000 car. I don't count that. They point out the Silverado EV, which is going into production spring 2023. They point out the Blazer, which is summer 2023. They point out the Equinox, which I'm the most excited about because Silverado and Blazer mean nothing to me. We have those, we don't have those, you know, marks here in the UK. And so, but I, you know, I'm not so dumb that I don't appreciate what they're going to do to the market. We haven't got the Equinox here either, but that is a segment. It's a high volume segment, and it's, I mean, look, the Silverado is going to do decent volume, isn't it, at the end of the day? But the $42,000 starting price of that, and it will go up, of the Silverado, will preclude some people. But a real volume segment car, the Equinox, which comes out, they say fall 2023. I'm so excited about that vehicle. Not that I can get it here. It's going to be massive news, I think, for the industry if they can start that at $30,000. Now, when they say starting price $30,000, I don't know whether they're including other little incentives in there. Of course, no federal tax credit. And we don't know what, in a year and a half's time, what on earth the situation is going to be with, federal help etc., etc., we'll be coming up to an election, won't we, in the US at that time. Holy bazookas. Right. They mentioned the Hummer pickup, which is in production. I mean, interesting, but I don't really count it. It's not volume. The Hummer SUV, which comes next year, I don't really count it. It's not volume. They talk about their coast-to-coast charging network, which, I don't know, is that their money they're spending, or are they hoping to get some of that federal money for the charging networks on that? I'm not sure. It hasn't been announced. And in terms of the battery supply chain, they say, we have binding agreements securing all battery raw material, supporting our goal of 1 million units of annual capacity in North America in 2025. So there you go. That's a hard number and a hard date. In 2025, 1 million units, annual capacity, North America. That's the claim. That's the promise. Let's hope they get there. I think they can. Let's hope they get there with all of those battery elements. They say cathodes, lithium, nickel, graphite, separators, electrolytes and cobalts in the bag. You know, look, any company making a million EVs in North America alone in 2025 is going to be all right by me. All right, moving on. Let's talk about, before we take a quick break, the Chevy Silverado has been filmed on the roads of Montana. It's an Instagram post posted by The Drive, running up and down 6th Avenue, followed by a camera truck, and it shows our closest look yet at the real-life Chevy Silverado on the streets in, you know, in a public environment. I'll pop a link to The Drive in the show notes so you can read more. Right, coming up on the podcast very, very soon, we're going to talk about new truck charging stations in Europe, and Tesla's Shanghai Gigafactory got a big upgrade. Stick around, those stories are on the way.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Now, though, let's talk a little bit about Mercedes-Benz and their new inner-city truck called the E-Conic. And it started series production. It's now in production, coming out of Special Trucks, the second battery electric truck from Mercedes-Benz, following the E-Actros. That's the really big truck that can, you know, whatever tonnage, you know, that is. I saw a 40-ton E-Actros towing another trailer the other day. And so those vehicles, two electric trucks now, which is big news. Anything that does a serious amount of miles every year electrifies a lot of miles. That's really great news. The E-Conic is based on the same vehicle architecture as the E-Actros, manufactured in their facility, their truck centre. About 2,700 employees working at that site. And they've also completed the construction of a truck charging park they're going to use as demonstration for their commercial partners at its site in, do I say that, Wörth? I would say Wörth in English, but in German, with a little umlaut thing over the O. Is that Wörth or Wörth? Anyway, sorry, German viewers, listeners, if I've butchered your language. It is a new kind of training centre, if you like, or information centre for their commercial customers to come along, see how vehicles like that are charged. It's got charging columns from the likes of Siemens and ABB and Alpitronic, from 40 kilowatts all the way through to 300 kilowatts. They call it a proof of concept. And I'll pop a link to Electrive in the show notes if you'd like to see that. Tesla's Shanghai Gigafactory has been upgraded by 30%, says the South China Morning Post, finishing their upgrading production facilities for the Model Y, increasing production by a third. It's already the largest Tesla base in the world. And we heard at the recent earnings presentation, it's now at 750,000 annual capacity, or it will be when it's finally finished. They can assemble 2,000 Model Ys every single, they say, 2,000 Model Ys a day, about 30% more than previously. They're also upgrading the Model 3 line, completed on August 7th. Daily output of the Model 3 will be 1,200 units. Link to South China Morning Post in the show notes. Teslarati put all of that together and say that when Tesla finishes Giga Shanghai's upgrades, they'll have a production capacity of 3,000 vehicles a day. That is some serious production and serious amounts of cars to even move, to even get the raw materials in, the batteries in, assemble them, and then get shot of them at the end of the day. A serious amount of cars, 3,000 vehicles a day. That's the estimate after recent upgrades to their production lines, say Teslarati. In addition to a third working shift as well, the Shanghai Gigafactory will make 1,200 Model 3s a day, they say, and Model Ys 2,200 a day. Tesla China started upgrading the factory earlier this month. Model 3 opens August 7th, a new Model 3 assembly line, as mentioned previously, and production starts a day later on the 8th. Now, some great news about more incentives coming to EV purchasers. This is New Jersey chipping in up to $4,000 to help you buy an electric vehicle, as reported by NJ.com, spending millions of dollars to get people to ditch petrol stations and purchase all electric vehicles, says the Governor Phil Murphy announced yesterday. It includes a payment of $4,000 to reduce the price of an electric vehicle and $250 to help pay for a charging station at your house. Another $4 million going towards giving incentives for apartment buildings and condominiums to install charging stations for residents. The roughly $60 million fund used to fund this incentive comes from this year's Clean Energy Fund, and the state is chipping in, as I say, $4,000 for cars that cost up to 45k MSRP and $2,000 between 45 and 50,000. So if you're after your premium 50,000 plus EV, it won't apply, but that's probably fair, isn't it? The incentive started July 25th, linked in NJ.com where I found that article so you can read more. Now, the majority of drivers in the US don't even buy an EV for environmental reasons, says Polestar. They've done a piece of research that found 55% of US drivers purchase an EV because, well, they're better. In-vehicle technology, connectivity, infotainment, all named as important decision makers for consumers. Brand image also making a difference, depending on how old they are. 57% of millennials, so that's up to 40 years old, 57% confident in new electric car brands, compared to only 28% being confident. That's the sort of 57 to 75s. Call them baby boomers, if you will, not so confident in startup brands. Half of respondents are more open to new brands and startups like Polestar. Obviously, why they're doing the research. They want to know, do people trust our name? Because in the US, the name Polestar, it really is a standing start. And their Polestar spaces are fantastic, and you can have reassurance if you know, oh yeah, Polestar, Volvo, Geely, massive company. Yeah, they're not going bust anytime soon. Many people won't realise that, though. For Gen Z responders, so that's 18 to 24-year-olds, image is a big factor. 12% saying it's the most important consideration when choosing an EV, and it's the image factor compared to driving a dirty combustion vehicle. I'll pop a link to Polestar's media site in the show notes. And finally, what's the time? Yeah, I'm 20 minutes in. Just got time to tell you about a tweet I saw from the International Energy Agency, the IEA. They say, and I quote, electricity prices are skyrocketing around the world and more than tripling in many markets. In the first half of 2022, average natural gas prices in Europe were four times as high as in the same period last year, while coal prices were more than three times as high. And why is that important? Because electricity prices are completely tied to gas prices in terms of generation. Hey, if you've got an EV and you're not yet tied in to a cheap overnight tariff, if you possibly can, get it done now, because the next half of the year, electricity prices are only going one way. I'm locked in till December 31st with Octopus. I'm on Go Faster. So I pay 5p overnight for a unit, and I pay 23 or 25 pence during the day, and about the same standing charge. I haven't got a hope of getting anything near that when mine ends. I saw a tariff yesterday that was 60 pence. And one of Octopus's 62, 63p during the day, and not much less standing charge as well. And that is, the October price cap is coming, at least here anyway. We have, our energy system is meant to limit the price rises every 6 months. That's going to every 3 months, by the way. But, I mean, if you're on a tariff, probably at the minute, some of the advice is stay on it. But if you can, around the world, get a cheaper energy price and even lock into that, and you drive an EV and you charge at home, please, please, please do so. Don't say you weren't warned. We are facing, you know, for many people,
a really challenging time with energy prices. For many, it's going to be a case of fuel poverty. And you know, the conversation over here, unfortunately, is dominated. The front pages are dominated by choosing between two people to lead the Conservative Party, which is all I see in all of our news, which doesn't really affect anybody. Whereas what we pay for energy is going to be a huge story coming up. You know, there are going to be people this winter who have to choose between eating and heating. And that doesn't get discussed. So, hey, I'm putting it out there, end of the podcast today, to say these things are coming. They will affect us all. I think there should be more of a public discussion around energy and pricing and all those things, especially if you own an EV. But I guess you know this already because you're watching this show and you've got to the end of it. So, you know, commiserations. That's your podcast for today. Thank you very much for listening and watching. A question of the week is taking a wee break for a while, but it will return. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast on Patreon. It's how we fund this show. Patreon.com/EV News Daily. Thanks, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village there in Cincinnati, alongside Audi of Cincinnati East and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Octopus Electric Juice. They make public charging simple with one card, one map and one app. And millbrookcottages.co.uk. Five-star luxury cottages in Devon. So treat yourself and get booked in. Thanks for watching. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.